Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening once again, free PRF listeners. This is Brother Dunlap. Also joining us is Sister Sanders and Brother Warren Feaster. I'll come to those in a minute. Tonight, we're just hoping to have another exciting episode with you. Last week, we talked about dependency on money. That is the direction that God had led Adia, and everything went well. We had a really good time last week, so if you happen to miss that show, we ask that you go back on the blogtalkradio.com website and go in and retrieve the archives. It'll be a very, very good treat for you. So with that, let me just go to one of our other gracious hosts of the show, Sister Adia. How are you doing this evening? What's been going on?
I'm doing good. Just been busy doing a lot of reading and self-reflecting, and that's pretty much it.
Good deal. Once again, brothers and sisters, Adia is going to be leading us in our dialogue this evening, so pray for her as she does what God has ordained her to do on this show tonight. And also, Brother Feaster, how you doing, sir?
Well, I'm going to probably be a little quiet tonight because I have a little cold and I'm getting over, so I'll be coughing real bad. But besides that, I'm ready and excited for tonight's show. Don't worry about my coughing. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimum on the air. But let's get this discussion going. I'm feeling like last week was just a taste of where we really would like to go.
Well, you know what? It really was just a taste. And like I've said so many times before on so many other shows, it's not about us taking this hour and 15 minutes or whatever it is that God tells us that enough is enough. It's really getting it out. And if we have to go to two or three shows to get all that God wants us to get out to you, the listeners, and that's how we're going to do it. So, Adia, let me just come to you. Tell us, I know you and I had a conversation, and you had a conversation with Brother Feaster after the show last week, but tell us and tell the listeners, why are we back on this subject again? And just tell us a little bit about where we're going to go tonight.
Well, we're back on the subject again because I think that it's important that we be honest with ourselves to say that we do depend on money and that there's nothing wrong with that. What I think has happened, and I can, speaking for Adia in my experience, is that what I have seen is the emphasis on money in the church is geared towards, you know, giving your tithes and your offering, and depending on what denomination you're in, giving money to pastor's anniversary, church anniversary, the children's ministry, the usher board, and the minister of music ministry anniversary, the choir anniversary, whatever other ministries or anniversaries that we have created in our churches. However, what happens is that when people have a dependency on money in their homes, it's kind of like frowned upon, and then we want to use the catchphrase to trust God. And so I wanted to come from two different perspectives, one being the natural side that we have jobs and we are accountable or held accountable to make sure that our bills are paid. If you have a mortgage or rent or a car payment, electricity, water, gas, food, we are obligated to pay those things when we get paid. And we already know, for those who believe that God is the source and the reason why they have the job and he has given them the resources to get the job or, you know, and the finances to, you know, when they get paid, they know that there's an obligation at the end of that to make sure that their bills are paid, which shows stewardship. On the other side, and this is talking to Brother Feaster on last week, is, and what I kind of was dealing with was, well, what happens when you know that God has given you something to do? And the example that I want to use is that if he has given you, you know, told you, hey, I want you to go over to Africa and to, I don't know, minister to people or bring humanitarian aid to a certain region in Africa or whatever it is, and you know that the only money that you have is what you get paid, then the other part is where you say, okay, God, you've given this for me to do. Here's the only funds that I have to work with, and this is to take care of my household and my bills. That's when you have to trust God, because you know that you don't have the means, the resources, the finances to get from the United States of America to Africa. And just to throw another variable in there, you don't even have a passport in order to get to Africa. So the dependency on money, what I've concluded or just come to the conclusion of is that it is not a negative thing. It is not a positive thing, but it is a human aspect of our lives that we are dependent on money, and that part of it should not be ignored. You know, we have the government who tells us that we have to pay our taxes. We have other organizations that would definitely show a correlation of how other things, other entities or other agencies or organizations are dependent on money for them to run. However, when we get to the individual parts of who we are in our household, it's kind of like the dependency on money diminishes. And I'm really talking about, you know, for Christians and maybe some other people that are a part of different different denomination or religious backgrounds. So I kind of just wanted to talk about both of those and kind of just still bring in the point of what we talked about last week. Is there a goodwill or selfish intent when it comes to our dependency on money? And also just where we highlighted that we are dependent on money, but looking at what are some of the values that we placed on it. I know we highlighted that a little bit. What are some pros and cons, if there are any, of money dependency, and to identify problems that cause money dependency when it gets out of hand. So that's kind of where I wanted to go, and to kind of open up the dialogue and just see where we're going to end up on tonight. I still just wanted to focus on the scripture from 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 11, but I'm just going to focus on verse 10 where it says, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So I just want to just open up the floor. I don't know if Nate or Feaster have anything that they would like to comment on. I know Brother Feaster said he's coughing, but I just kind of just wanted to open up the floor and just let the dialogue flow from there.
Well, I think you want to cover. Well, go ahead, JR.
No, go ahead, brother. We got to get you in between your calls, so go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up something that we talked about after the show last Thursday, Adia, that I really think is a major point to the conversation that we're having today. One of the things that got me in the after show was when you said that it's neither good or bad if you're dependent on money. It's just knowing that you are and knowing your dependency. And for me, as we were talking, that was a that was a big thing, because it really changed my mood, it changed my thought process of the conversation. Because I felt like a lot of times during the show that I was defending myself or trying to explain myself. And I was like, I'm one of the people that, yeah, I am dependent on money, but then, no, I'm not. I mean, I like doing things just to be doing things. I like doing things that don't require a lot of money. I remember when me and my wife first met, she came home from work, and we had a picnic inside the living room. I had the sheet out there and made a sandwich, put some chips and drink right there. And that didn't cost but $5, but the memory lasted. You know, we were married 18 years, so this was 19 years ago. So when you said that it's neither good nor bad to depend on money, that really opened my eyes to a lot of what you were trying to say last week, and I think that you're also going to continue to say this week, as long as we acknowledge it, as long as we realize it, as long as we just grab our hands around the fact that we are dependent on money, how much are we dependent on money? And also, if we allow society, which I have a big issue with this, if we allow society to be the regulators and leaders of how we do things, then society is going to push us to be dependent on money. So I just wanted to bring that out because, like I said, that to me, that was an eye-opener part of the dialogue as we were talking last week during the after show.
You know, and I say this, I think one of the good things about it for me is, especially when it comes to this PRF table, is what you just said, Brother Feaster, the opening of your eyes. You know, this is not about us trying to convince anybody of anything, but for you to recognize, you know what, my eyes are a little bit more wider now that I've had this conversation. That's really what it's all about, because none of us know everything. And to be honest with you, a lot of us have been taught certain things that may not have been the truth, may have been through manipulation, which I've heard being expressed on this show before. So I think it's a good thing, Brother Feaster, that you were able to say it out loud so other people can hear that as a testimony that, hey, even though I am a minister, even though I am knowledgeable of the Word of God, talking about in biblical form, and also I have a relationship with God, that I don't know everything. And there's room for me to grow as an individual, and I can say it out loud. That cuts down on barriers. That cuts down some of these different isms that are within us and among us as people living in society with one another. So I'm glad that you were able to say that. And I also appreciate what you said, Adia. Brother Feaster mentioned it, but you know that this thing is not a good thing or is not a negative thing or a positive thing. It just is. And I think a lot of life is, it just is. And if we can come to that understanding about different things in our lives that cause us conflict, different things in our lives that make our relationship with one another a lot more challenging than what they already are, or even difficult when it doesn't even need to be difficult, I think that's a sign of growth, and I think God is pleased with that.
And I totally agree with you on that, both Nate and Feaster. It's amazing how as you continue to grow and what God reveals to you is that sometimes your own thought process can really keep you narrow-minded. And that was the case for me. You know, I mentioned towards the end of the show that I had always been scared to say that I loved money. And as I began to think about that thing, I was just like, are you kidding me? I think that the Lord was showing me or just telling me, well, think about the times that you say you love your husband, you love your children, you love to eat, you love going to amusement parks, you love reading. That has never diminished or decreased or devalued your love for me. But in my mind, I looked at love, saying that I loved money, as being tied to 1 Timothy 6:10, that if I say I love money, it was going to be connected to that it was the root of all evil. And in my mind and in my heart, I was just like, God, I don't ever want to love something more than I love you, and then it caused me heartache and pain. Or now I'm living, you know, in this greedy state of mind. But when I begin to see that though I love my husband and I love a lot of other things in life, I love life that God has given me, it has never strayed or pulled me away for my love for God. So being able to make that connection for me was eye-opening, because a lot of times we can take things that people tell us, or we can take what a culture teaches us, whether it's the culture of the church or just society itself or how we're raised, and we could take those things, grab hold of them, and they become a part of who we are, and we never truly walk in the freedom that God wants us to have in the first place. And so as I begin to realize that the dependency on money far passes that I love it so much to where it is now the root of all sorts of evil. But it's the fact that I understand that I use money to pay my bills, that I use money to be a blessing to other people, that I, you know, am able to buy a 46-cent stamp to send a thank you card just to say, hey, thank you for what you've done for me. That took money for me to go to that just small level to tell somebody thank you. And so what I see is that sometimes how we think can definitely not line up to really to what God is saying and to what we're being taught. And that was definitely the case for me. The other thing that I just wanted to kind of reiterate was the value that we place on money. And being able to say we have a dependency on money because we got to pay our bills, you know, we got to eat, whatever the case may be, how does the value that we place on money go along with our dependency on it? And I know I really don't have an answer. I honestly don't. And so I just kind of want to see what others are thinking to see if it will maybe can help me look at the value of money and the dependency to see if there, I guess, is if there's a relationship between the two, because I don't know.
There is a value to money that we've placed on it. I like to think about, if we really look at what money is, all it is trading. It's money. The concept of money is built on the trading concept. One person has some goods that another person wants, and so they trade. In this case, we're using money. So it's the same thing. Think about how the person who has no money is still able to eat, is still able to live, still able to do a lot of the things that we do, maybe not on the same scale or the same level, but we're still able to do the same thing because all it is trading. What about the person who can clean well and they'll find a parking lot and clean it and the store owner would give them something to eat or give them something? And that's, it's the same thing. So we've placed, granted society has also done it, but we've placed such a high value on money that we can't see. And that's one thing, and I was sitting here for the past 2 weeks understanding how is this tying in with PRF, but there it is right there. We place such a high value on money that we've forgotten a lot of the other resources, a lot of the other talents, a lot of the other things that we have at our disposal that can really benefit us. You know, if we look at it like that too, take away the money and look at what you do during the day that don't require money. I talk about it all the time. When you're at the gas pump and you lean over and say, hello, how you doing? That doesn't take money. Granted, you're pumping gas, that takes money. But it doesn't take money to lean over there and acknowledge that person that's on the other side of that tank. So we look at that, that's a resource that we have. That's a resource. Now, it didn't cost any money, but that person on the other side of the tank may value that more than if you give them $10. Because like I said, a lot of people, and maybe this is just my own narrow-minded belief or what I believe, but a lot of people don't feel like people walk around like they're invisible. People walk like they're not here. So you acknowledge it to somebody, that could be much more valuable than money itself.
You know what, I'm really interested in those of you who are actually listening to the show right now. You know, how much value do you place on money? You know, sometimes it's easy, and I'm glad you brought this question up for us to think about and to ponder it, dear. You know, we talk about, you know, sometimes we talk about issues on this show, issues of society, issue of the church, issues within the body of Christ, issues that we have going on in our own lives. And I think when it comes to getting to the root causes of certain behaviors, certain mindsets, certain traditions, I think we always, it's always very valuable to ask those questions and be able to ask those questions about self. And when we ask questions about self, such as what is it that I, or how much value do I place on money? When I answer that question, then I'm able to see myself and see if there's anything that needs to be tweaked within myself so that I'm more of a blessing to others. Because if I have a certain mindset about how I value money and it's not a right mindset, quote unquote, or a godly mindset, or a Christian mindset, then that's something that I need to be able to ask God for. But if I never come to a point where I think that there's anything wrong, as I mentioned earlier with Brother Feaster, and Brother Feaster actually saying my eyes were a little bit open even after the show. If we're not willing to do things like that, then I think we'll be a stagnant type of people. So I'm glad that we have people that are not stagnant, that listen to the show. I'm glad that we have individuals that are willing to be open and honest about what's going on in your life, because you never know the things that God is doing with you and how, as you express, as you share those things with other people, how it's going to bless somebody else and how they'll be able to maybe take that testimony, help frame another testimony within themselves, and then the cycle continues. So let me just start off so I'm not sounding like a hypocrite. You know, how much value do I place on money? I think I place a lot of value on money, Adia. I'm going to be real with you. And when I answer that question, I think it's worth not just staying there at that question with a yes or no type of answer. So those of you who are listening, jump in, press 1 on your dial pad, call in to 914-338-1692. Let us hear your thoughts. But when I say that, I have to be willing to attach it to something so that somebody doesn't take it out of context. We talk a lot about context on this show. So what is one instance that I can say I value money, or how much value I place on money? I say when it comes to my job. My job is important to me because it's through my job that I'm able to give. It's through my job that I'm able to take care of my wife. It's through my job that I'm able to take care of my children. That's those type of things that I say, yes, my job is valuable to me, and I do value money, because if I didn't have that job, then I would have to be thinking about some different things. So I just wanted to get everybody cranked up and started a little bit. We have a caller calling from the last four of 0155. So welcome back to the PRF table. How are you doing this evening?
Hello, how are you? I'm doing well.
So what do you think?
This is Feaster's cousin again, and this interesting that this topic of money is coming up. 6 months ago, I walked away from a high-paying job that, from a financial perspective, satisfied all of those needs. But there was a price that had to be paid for that money, and I was no longer willing to pay that. And I walked away. And in the last 6 months, a lot of what you all have been talking about the bartering system, about making a difference in the lives of other people, I've been able to do that while still finding ways to maintain my lifestyle. So my value in money has changed after I realized that sometimes there's a price that has to be paid, and you have to be willing to pay that price or to walk away. And I have found all kinds of ways to make a difference in the lives of other people without spending money. Something as simple as taking my niece to her orientation for high school, or being able to go with my sister to the hospital. Those are things that money could not buy. But because I have my time available, I was able to make a difference. So money, in terms of its value to me, money is great when you put it to good use. It's only an issue when you become a slave to it and sacrifice your happiness and your health in order to obtain it and maintain it.
That's a good point, and I think that ties into why in Timothy it says that the love of it is the root of all sorts of evil. Because if you go to the verse before that, it says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation. So there is definitely underlying motives that a person may have as to why the love of money now becomes the root of all evil. There are underlying motives and intentions and all kinds of things. What I want to make clear is that we understand that one, to be able to live any lifestyle, whether it's living in the projects, and just to keep it real, I mean, before you probably used to be able to live in the projects and not have to pay one dime. But now there's a requirement that you have to either be in school or doing a work first program to where you have some type of income coming in so that you can contribute to the roof that's being put over your head. So I want to make it clear that, one, when we're talking about the dependency on money, we're looking at two different aspects. We're looking at, one, we need money so that we can live, whether it's the lowest of low, as far as, you know, I live in the projects or I'm on Section 8, or I live in a trailer, or I live in a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, 2,000-square-foot house. Or the other aspect is that there are things, God-given things that I want to do or ideas that I have where I want to be a blessing to people, but I know at the end of the day it's going to take this amount of money to do that. And really why I think the focus is, why I really want to focus on that and just to, I guess, level the playing field is that we all know that we can pick up a phone or go visit somebody in the hospital, and that is definitely an invaluable service that you can never put an amount of money on. But what happens when someone calls you or texts you to say, I'm behind in a bill and I don't get paid until 2 weeks from now, can you give me the money? Will a phone call or a thank you card or an email or a prayer suffice? And so the reality is that there are definitely things that we can always do for people that does not have a dollar amount attached to it. I just and I love the challenges. Because Saturday when I went to the gas station, there was an elderly lady there. And I said, you know what? I can ask her, ma'am, can I pump your gas for you? And when I asked her that, the smile that was on her face, no amount of money could be placed on that. And what she said to me in return was, she said, no, thank you. She said, I got it. She said, but thank you so much for asking, and may God bless you. What Amen. She said to me in return, no money could be taken in place of that, because I literally took it that she came out of the sincerity of her heart to say that I thank you for even asking, but because I don't need you to do it, I pray that God blesses you. And we all know, if you know, have a relationship with Christ, that nobody can ever put a value on what Jesus can do for you and what he has done for us. Because it will always go back to him. But I am thankful for those times where I am able to make a difference financially. When I know that sending a dollar or buying a book can help a child right here in the States or either in another country get the health care that they need or get the food that they need. And I don't definitely want to get it twisted that my prayers are any less valuable because I know that they are not, or picking up a phone is any less valuable because I know that they're not. But I definitely think that it's worth talking about money because we use it every single day. We don't go to Walmart and buy and put $50 worth of groceries in our cart and say, can you just take this thank you card or, you know, this tab and that'll settle my debt. That's not the society or that we work in, and it didn't even happen in Jesus' time. I mean, when it came time to pay taxes, he said render to Caesar what is due to him. And so I think that we definitely need to put it in perspective that our dependency on money is one so that we can live and so that we can be a blessing to other people as God has placed things on our heart. I can definitely say that I know God has placed on my heart to write a book. I've never written a book before. I don't even know the first thing about writing a book. I don't know if you just sit down and just start typing away and you can just take it to an editor or a publisher and they'll just print your book off. I have no idea. And there may be a publisher and an editor that will take my book and not charge me a dime. And I am so thankful if that does happen, and I'm going to let y'all know about it. But on the other spectrum of that is I started a book club, and we are reading some very challenging and thought-provoking books. Some of the books we will have to pay for if we want to gain the knowledge that is in them because it has a price on it. Some of the books we may be able to go to the public library and check out. But at the end of the day, someone had to purchase that book in order for us to be able to get it. So if we may not have to pay the cost of something up front, we still cannot escape that somebody had to pay a price in order for us to get the things that we get. And I don't want to sound as if I am devaluing or taking emphasis away from all of those things that we're able to do that does not cost us a dime, because I am so for free. I really am. If somebody can just give me a card and say, you know, I was just thinking about you, or send me a text message that they were thinking about me, I appreciate those, because money cannot put any value on how people appreciate you. But we also know that we do need money to live. And also there are things that we want to do in our hearts that it is going to take money to do. And I just really thank you both and also our caller just for definitely putting it into another perspective of how there are things that we don't have to do that cost money as well.
Adia, I think we're going to go back and forth on this issue. And it's totally in love, and I don't want anybody out there to think that we're at odds with each other, but I really think you and I are going to go back and forth on this issue. I do understand what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, but I also disagree. Yes, we do need money for things. We need money for a lot of things, but I guess this is just the way we're wired. I see so much more stuff that we can get without money. Hey, y'all bear with me because my calls are starting to act up again. But there's an old story I heard where this rich man took his son out to this poor man's house, and he was gloating because of all the things that he had. So he wanted to take his son out to this poor man's house and just, you know, show him all that they had in comparison. And they went there and they spent the day with him, and the boy had fun. And when he got in the car to head back, the father asked, "Well, what did you think?" He said, "Wow, Pop, we ain't got nothing compared to them." He said, "We have a little small pool. They have a lake. You know, we got a small yard, and their yard goes on for miles." And that story right there told me that it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Go back to that question you said when you asked how much value do we place on money? The more value we place on money, the more things that we see that we can do with money and things that we can't do without money. And I agree with you. Yeah, I can't go to Walmart and be the world's best greeter for free and then expect Walmart to give me a bag of food or some clothes that I need. In that situation, yes, I need money. But the same bag of food that I need, I may be able to go work somewhere else for. You know, so for me, it's all trading. It's all trading. It's all bartering, like Kiana said. It's all one service for one good or one good for one service. So that's, I think me and you are going to go back and forth on this, Adia.
So I would ask you this then.
No,
why do we work? Why are we working then if we can do other things without money, or we can do so many things without money, then why do we work?
it goes back, and this is on me, it goes back to the way society has been set up. If you go, let's go back a couple of centuries when they didn't work for money. Let's go back to, you know, the small Native American communities that we studied growing up. They didn't work for money. They hunted for food, and they used every part of that animal to continue on with their society, their life, and their lifestyle. Nobody worked for money. It was all about trade. Go back a couple of years ago, about 50 or 60 years ago, with our grandparents and our forefathers and foremothers, and look at how with little to no money. Matter of fact, let's go back to the reason why we started the Pastor's Anniversary in the Black Church. And one of the reasons why we started Pastor's Anniversary is because the people in the church could not afford to pay the pastor. But what they did was they brought him food. During harvest time, they brought him stuff from their harvest. And that was what they gave, and that's how that pastor survived. So we work nowadays to maintain a lifestyle in most cases. The average person can take probably take a half a cut in pay and still live a successful life, because most of us are working to maintain a lifestyle. So that's why we're working. But that's all me.
You know what? Let me start. I've been sitting back in the cut, so I think I'm ready to come out the gate now. You know what? One of the things that you said, Brother Feaster, is a real reason why having this conversation and not just letting it be a conversation, but taking it from a conversation and putting it into practical application is important. You just said to Adia, about why working for money, because that's the way society is set up. Well, the last that I can recall, I'm not supposed to do everything just because society says so. Not with my belief system, and not with the belief system of a whole bunch of other people of my faith. So is it a matter of that's the way society is made up, or is it because we're a bunch of cowards and we don't want to do it opposite to the way society is? Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. That was in the biblical days. That was in the days of Elijah. And you know that's a foundational scripture to this whole PRF ministry. The widow had a problem with the creditors. The husband owed the creditors. It wasn't that she was so much looking for the money. Let's peel back the onion of what was really going on. She wasn't just trying to pay the creditors off. She was trying to prevent something from happening. And what was that she was trying to prevent? She was trying to prevent the creditors from coming and taking her sons. So when you said that, I said, nah, let's deal with that so people can hear that, okay, I don't care what society is doing, but I'm called to be different in this world. So if society wants to be totally dependent on money and not use the barter system, which we know worked well in the history of our ancestors, worked well back in the 60s when we couldn't go and get certain things because of segregation, worked well when 9/11 hit, when we couldn't go from to and fro, we couldn't get on airplanes and people were stranded. Things worked well in calamity. They work well in calamity. They work well when we have disasters. So what are we waiting on? We really shouldn't even have to have a conversation about what society is doing. We need to do stuff and let society conform to us versus us conforming to society. I think in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world. So if we see that the world's way of doing it is not the right way or not the most effective way or not the most beneficial way, then I think we got a responsibility to change how we're interacting within the world. The world's not going to conform to us. Well, we're not supposed to be conforming to the world. They're supposed to conform to us. But that's only going to be because of our lifestyle. So think about what Brother Saeed said last week. $1 can make a difference, right? $1 a day equals $30 a month, and he started doing the math. And then he said also $2 if you listen to last week's show. $2 a day, $60 a month times 12. I really don't think it's hard. I don't think it's that hard. I think we have to have the conversations about, okay, what's really going on? And once we identify if there is a problem, then let's work towards whatever the problem is and finding a solution for it. I just had to go there, Brother Feaster.
And honestly, that is a lot of what I was saying. We kind of talked about this last time. When we talk about being a Christian and exercising faith, I mean, let's go to Abraham, who was considered the father of the faith. Abraham was told to go to a land that I want to tell you. And he had to pack his stuff up and he left. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. It took faith in who he was talking to do that. So when God tells us things, then God is going to make the provisions. Because the Bible says, not for my name's sake, but for his name's sake. It's not my name on the line. If I fail at doing God's job, it's not my name on the line. It's God's job. It's God's name that's on the line. And God is not going to put his name out there like that. If God is going to, if it's God, and this is a whole different subject, if it's God, he's going to supply it. He's going to resource it. All God asks from us is faith and obedience. That's it. That's it.
Well, it's easy to say that. I think that's a lot of the challenge. And I think I'm going to put myself in this ministerial bubble for a minute, and I'm going to pull myself right out. We say things as if they're so easy, but don't really get too concerned with how we are walking with people through those things that we make seem easy by just saying it so we don't have to deal with folks. Now I'm pulling myself out the ministerial bubble. That ain't it. If you go, I know we're just going somewhere else, but whatever. Paul talks a whole lot in the Bible, in the New Testament. He talks a whole lot about do this, do this, do that, do that. But we rarely read about all the stuff that Paul gave instructions on to all those different individuals, those different groups, those different communities. Let's go back and talk about all the times where we see the results of what he said. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love. We can go there. We can go there all day long. We can go there. But once we go there, we have to have something else tangible on the outside or on the other side of it so people can actually see it. So when people actually see it, they know, okay, I can do this. So we got to be, I don't know what the word is, better, for lack of phrase. We got to be better than that, just saying all God requires of us is just to have faith. Some people don't know what it is that means, what it means to have faith. So if we keep just telling them, thinking it's just going to sink in through osmosis, I think there's something else that has to be done.
I definitely think that this is a good topic, because it really causes one to think about the role that money plays. And I like what you said, Feaster. I really do. But my question would be, if we can live this lower lifestyle, does that mean that we do not need money at all to do it? I understand, you know, that in the Bible, when they gave their tithes, it was in certain instances, it was their first fruit was their harvest. But in other instances, it was money. And I don't know, I guess my question would be, where have we gotten the concept from that we don't need money? I just, that's the part that I guess I'm struggling with, because I know that if I want to feed somebody on the corner, regardless of if I go grow the food myself, I still am going to have to pay a tangible dollar amount to go do that, even though it may not cost me anything else. it still costs somebody at some point. I have worn hand-me-down clothes. That meant that my mother did not have to go out and spend money that she didn't have, but somebody still had to go and pay for those clothes. And I just think that it is so good and well to say, God, I trust you that you're going to put food on my table. But if you don't get up and go get a job, him putting food on your table is indicative of what you did or did not do. And so many times we have people that are just, you know, living off of this, I got faith that God is going to turn it around, and then think that there's no requirement of them. And so my thing is, could that be why we don't put a value on money or put a higher value on money? Is because we sort of think, well, I'm just going to put my faith in God, and he's going to work everything out, but there's always a requirement of us. And sometimes I think we dismiss that fact because we are putting, you know, we're saying that God is going to do everything. He's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Well, I don't know if his riches consist of corn and butter beans, but I hope that his riches and glory, if I really need a financial blessing to pay my car note, is not no corn and no butter beans. I'm hoping that God's riches and glory will be laid on somebody's heart, that they will say, I don't know why I'm giving you this, but here's a check to pay your car note. Not a thank you card, not a text message, but tangible money that I have to give the car company. And the other thing is being a good steward. I think that God will see the faithfulness of us over us being a steward over what he has given us, over the job that he's given us, over when we get paid. And I don't know, I guess, if there is, I guess, a misconception that valuing, putting a value on money means that you do not trust God, or putting your trust in God means that you can lower the value that you place on money because God is always going to fix or turn it around and set the atmosphere, and that everything is always going to work out, because then that takes the responsibility away on what we're required to do, our reasonable service. And I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Well, let me clarify something, and I hope this is not, and if it is, I do apologize. By no means am I saying that we don't need money. I am not trying to imply that. I'm not trying to say that at all. By no means am I saying that there are not times and cases where money is needed. I'm not saying that at all either. What I am really saying is, there are so many other things that we can do without money, along with so many things that we can do with money. And I guess I'm going back to the other question that you asked when we talk about how much value do we place on money. I love money. I like nice clothes. I like my nice vehicle. I like my nice home. And those things took money. But there are a lot of things that I do that don't require money. Maybe that's how the angle that I'm looking at it from. But I'm not by no means saying that, you know, we don't need money at all.
Gotcha, I gotcha.
And I understand that. But like Brother Nate was saying, what about that person who is not being taught that? What about those people who are coming to you to say, hey, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I have no earthly idea how I'm going to get it done. Is just telling them to have faith in God enough? And the thing is that if we continue with that mindset that they just trust God, but then we don't give them the rest of the story, or we don't allow them to grow to the point of where our faith is, then we can lose a lot of people. Now we look hypocritical to say, you know what, you do need to go to work. It's okay that you miss Sunday service because I know that you got to go to work. But you have some people that will say, when these church doors are open, you need to be here. or you can't miss a day from work because you scared that you're not going to make enough money on your paycheck to cover your bills, I think that it's two different things that I know that I'm talking about to say that I know that God will provide, and you helped me to see that when God places something in you or when you have a desire to do something to help the greater mankind, that if you believe that God is going to make a way for you to do it because you know that you do not have the money to do it, then I believe that a way will be made. Even if it comes by someone else financially funding that trip to Africa, or if it means that you go to the local grocery store and write a letter to them saying, hey, this is what I want to do, can you help me, and they give you a check for $60, I just think that it's important that we talk about these issues that sometimes we don't talk about, but yet we still put into practice.
This is what I'm hearing. It's not like this is the thing about the table. Y'all two do not have to agree. It's not about the agreement. I guarantee you that there is somebody out there that understands exactly what you're saying, Adia, because of that experience or their experiences. I guarantee you that there's somebody that understands what you're saying, Brother Feaster, because of their experiences or experiences of somebody else that's close to them, and they see what that other person is going through. So y'all don't have to convince each other. Y'all don't even have to come to a consensus. Both of what you're saying is relevant. Both of what you are saying is going on in somebody's life, whether they're listening or whether it's from somebody that's listening and they know about somebody else. So I think we're good, y'all. Let us hit this caller that's been waiting patiently on the line. Calling with the last four of 0157. Welcome to the PR table.
Yes, I'm thoroughly enjoying the conversation, and to me, from my own personal experience, I think it works twofold. Number one, in a reference to money, we all do know that money answers all things, and that's scripture. But there's a supernatural part of it that sometimes, even as believers, we don't tap into. And matter of fact, right before the conference, I was on the phone with one of my spiritual sisters, and I began to just vent to her about me being financially frustrated and some things that going on in my finances. And I got to the point I was frustrated. And I said, you know what, I just got through praying. And I said, I really don't want to talk about it because I don't want to sound like I'm complaining or I'm not grateful. And in the conversation, God just began to remind me that he is faithful. And I just brought up something as small as, it may seem small, but it is so significant. Like when I get paid, I try to, of course, pay my tithes. I do pay my tithes, but I always try to pay myself if I'm doing something for myself. And lately, because of the financial situation that I was in, for a month now, it's something I really wanted to do, I couldn't do, and that's like get a wig. And I was, you know, telling my spiritual sister, you know, for a whole month, I didn't buy a new wig, and out of the blue, I get this text message from someone who never had text my phone, but I apparently had my number, and they said, you know, I noticed you like wearing curly wigs, and I have three wigs I like to give you. And I was like, oh, no problem, just drop it off at my sister's house. So this person dropped the wigs off, and I waited like a week before I got it. And then when I got the bag, I still didn't look in it because I'm thinking, oh, it's just maybe some old wig somebody just gave to me. So just a couple days ago, I had washed my hair, and I was getting ready to put on one of my old wigs, and I said, oh, I forgot somebody gave me some wigs. And when I opened the bag, it was two brand-new wigs that was never worn, and it was one that was in the bag. And it looked new, so when I called her, I said, oh, my God. And she said, the one that was open, she only wore one time. So here I am, you know, like frustrated, And I'm walking around with a blessing. I'm like, a blessing was sitting on my couch for like a week of 3 brand new wigs. It was like all I did was think about it, and God moved. He blessed. It is just different little things like that that God would manifest in my life like that. And through people, the way of people, whether it's a stranger, a coworker, you know, whoever. So I think in reference to the Shulamite woman, the widow, the prophet told her, make me a cake first. And when she did that, he gave her instructions. She was obedient. But the one thing we know, she never ran out. She didn't run out. So sometimes when we go through what we go through as believers, sometimes we can get so caught up into the reality of what our situation is. But then there is a supernatural part. There is God's word. There is God's faithfulness. And if you pay your tithes, if you're faithful, if you sow your seed, he will manifest. And I'm a living witness. And I have plenty of testimonies, but I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, we thank you for your calling in and sharing your testimony. But I do have a question. You started off and you said that money answers all things in that scripture. Could you please clarify that for us? Or did she hang up already? Are you still there, caller?
Hello?
Hello, can you still hear me?
Yes, hold on. I got to get it, but there is a scripture that says that, but I can pull that reference for you.
Okay, thank you. When you get that, if you want to call back in, push 1 and give it to us, or either put it on
okay.
the page. Thank you. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm jumping between calls. I'm jumping between calls as we do this. I think that, you know, J.D., you made a good point that we don't have to see eye to eye. And that's one thing I love about this table, and that's one thing I love about this when we do this, because it's not all about being able to come to a compromise, not about seeing it from the same side, but it's just about coming and expressing yourself. And truly, I see that it's just two different angles looking at the same thing. One person valuing money more, one person is valuing possessions and other things more. And it's not about trying to come to an understanding or an agreement. It's just putting it out there. Like you said, JR, there are probably some other people that see some things my way or see some things other way, and we're not trying to sway everybody any other way. But when it's all said and done, we all have to pay our bills. We all have to put gas in our car. We all have to purchase food to eat. Those are necessities of life, the way we are, to get those things. And, yes, we need money to do those things. So, J.R., I'm glad you tied that in like that.
And let me say this, you know, let me just remind some of us and maybe bring something new to some others about what James chapter 2 says. You know, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself is that of no works, is dead. So some of you may really understand the translation, faith without works is dead. So that ties in what you were saying, Brother Feaster. It ties in what Sister Adia was saying. There has to be something that we're willing to do, but there also has to be something within us that is willing to do something for somebody else. So I'm grateful for all of our callers that's been calling in. And let me throw something out there. This came to me earlier today, and I've already posted it on the PRF page. You know, as we're talking about dependency on money, and I'm glad we've had conversation about it's not just about money, but for some people it is. Some people are really dependent on money because they really have a little bit of money. some people don't have people that are doing what Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders and myself are talking about as far as helping and being a blessing to somebody else, or maybe it's those blessings are coming few and far in between. So it's really not so much that everybody, it's not like all of us as Christians are really just so far on the hog, so to speak, and are really, really just doing it when it comes to giving and blessing others. There is definitely work that needs to be done. And since there's work that needs to be done, let's not be of a mindset that there is not work that needs to be done, because we do a couple of different things. Because that person is naked and we put some clothes on them and think, ooh, I'm good. You know, that doesn't mean that you're good for the next year. It means you've just done one thing that God has told you to do, or your heart has been prompted to do. So I think when it comes to this thing of dependency, I really think that listening to you, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders, dependency on money is really connected to dependency on our stuff. I don't think it's really I don't really think it's the money thing. I think it's dependency on the stuff. Sister Sanders, go ahead. I'm gonna be quiet, but I'm coming back. But I'm gonna go ahead and let you get in right now.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I really enjoy that we're talking about, and I just wanted to share two things that I think I shared with both of y'all earlier. But I know that God had laid on my heart that I was going to be a counselor, and this was like literally like 10 years ago. I had a dream that I was married and was counseling and had this beautiful center, like a community center, and just really when I looked at that dream, I was just like, that's great and all, but what, how is that going to happen? I'm sorry about that, y'all, for the pause. How is that going to happen? And I begin to share, you know, that when you know that God has placed something in you to do, and you look at what he showed you or what he's told you or what has been spoken to you or what's just on your heart, I got scared. And Brother Feaster put it in perspective for me about my faith, where my faith was. I was looking at the point of, well, who's going to build this community center? That's going to take money. And, Lord, you said this. And, Lord, you said that. And everything that the Lord said to me, it's going to take money to do. But the big part of that is that because I know that God said it, that my faith must be in that God is going to make the provision. He's shown me what he wants me to do. But now I have to take my faith to the next level, just like the young lady who called in, like she did. She was having a financial problem. I don't even have a financial problem when it comes to how this community center is going to be built, because I'm not trying to build anything right now. But the whole point of knowing that it's going to cost money and I don't have the money that it takes to build a building for what God showed me really put it in perspective to where is my faith? Where's my faith at? And so in my dependency on money, I need to tie it back to, God, you said you were going to do this. And
right.
Because I know that you said it, I know that you're going to provide the means for it. But the other side of that is, today I got a text message to say, I know, please forgive me for, you know, apologizing, for calling, you know, for texting you in this manner, but I'm behind in my car payment. Can you help me? I need $600. And my first thing was to say, well, and the soon as I got ready to think differently, the Lord said, remember what you said you wanted to do.
Wow.
Here is your opportunity to help somebody financially. You have the means to do it. Now, I need you to put your faith in me that when you give her the money, all of your needs will still be met. And so I saw it as twofold, that I have the opportunity to bless somebody financially because they have a need, but to also know that in me blessing somebody financially, that God has already promised that my needs will still be met and I will not miss a beat. So that was a reality for me today, that yes, my dependency is on money, not because I want to go buy a big elaborate house, not because I want to go buy the new Honda Odyssey that got a vacuum in it, y'all, because I got kids, but to know that when God says that he's going to do something, that he has not forgotten about you, and that he is going to provide a seed, whether that seed be financially, whether it be whatever he has for you. But
right.
I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to talk about that, yes, I am dependent on money. And I like what you said, Nate, that you do have people who don't have the job that I have, who are not in the military, who don't have what we call the sure pay, that on the 1st and the 15th, or if you get paid once a month like I do, that you're going to have the money to pay your bills. But some people have a limited funds to where they're only working with $600 a month, and that's all they have. So I just wanted to put that out there to say that we can be a financial blessing to people, but at the same time know that God is still going to make sure that your needs are met and that you will not miss a beat.
I think Sister Adia probably needs to go get some water now, because I know if I was looking at you right now, you pretty much have a whole bunch of sweat rolling off your forehead right now, cousin. But that's all right. Let God use you. Let God use you. Brother Feaster, we winding down, brother. So what do you have for us as we get ready to shut it down for the night?
I really ain't got too much to say after what she just said. I just think that was a great ending on the show. I just want to add, and I'm done after this.
Hold on. Before you add it, let me go to the call. Let me go to that caller that I heard you ask for that scripture. So let me go to that caller real quick, and then I'll bring you back on. So caller with the last four of 0157.
Yes. The scripture comes from Ecclesiastes 10 and 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. 10 and 19, the break that scripture down, it says government leaders, businesses, family, even churches get trapped into thinking money is the answer to every problem. We throw money at our problems, but just as the thrill of wine is only temporary, the soothing effect of the last purchase soon wears off, and we have to buy more. Scripture recognizes that money is necessary for survival, but it warns against the love of money. See Matthew 6:24, 1 Timothy 6:10, and then Hebrews 13:5. Money is dangerous because it deceives us into thinking that wealth is the easiest way to get everything we want. The love of money is sinful because we trust money rather than God to solve our problems. Those who pursue it, its empty promises, will one day discover that they have nothing because they are spiritually bankrupt.
Now, thank you, Carla, and let me make sure, did you say Galatians 10, or what was that chapter again?
Chapter 10, verse 19.
Chapter 2?
Right?
Yes.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19.
Okay, I couldn't hear it. Okay, I'm about to say thank you very much. Let me tell you where I have a problem with that. See, you know, we have to be careful with saying what people are going to do. If you continuously, and I'm not talking about the caller, I know she's reading from a biblical reference or a commentary, but the matter of what we are doing, putting everybody in a bubble, then why would anybody think that they're doing anything right? My thing is, let us find some people to talk about who don't have that mindset, that are doing it the way God would want them to do it, so that people can say, you know what, I want to be connected to that. Because if I heard correctly, I really wouldn't want to be too much down with the church, because I would say, okay, well, they got some issues that they need to work out. So why would I want to be a part of that? Does that make sense? Maybe it just makes sense to me, brother. I don't know. Brother Feasters, you had your final comments?
Yeah, I was getting over this final call so I can get on. My final comments, I just want to read two of the comments that were said tonight that I posted on the possession.resources.finances page. Early on in the show, Adita asked the question, how much value do we place on money? And then Kiana came right back like 5 minutes later and said that money only becomes an issue when we become a slave to it. And I think if we think about those two comments and what we talked about tonight, that will cover everyone that's listening to the show, wherever we are, in our perspective of being dependent on money. So thank you, and sorry about all the coughing.
It's okay. God still use you, bro. So let me just end on this. Dependency is on money is connected by our dependency on stuff. I really want everybody to just think about it and just consider it for a moment and see where you stand. See how you actually value money. Consider how your dependency on money is, and think about where those thoughts or where those ideas or where those frame of minds have actually come from. See if you're able to, with the assistance of God, can get to the root cause of why you think or feel the way you feel, and be open to Him allowing yourself to be changed so that your mindset is not where you're just depending on money, or as Sister Adia was talking about, you're depending on other people but don't take personal responsibility for that. So I think we've had a lot of good discussion tonight. And let me leave us with this. This is what I was thinking about earlier, Brother Feaster. I was thinking about, you know, different mindsets. And I think from listening to the show tonight, it was kind of confirmed with Lisa was with me, that there maybe there's two different mindsets, and there may be a couple of more. And if you have more mindsets about this dependency on money topic, we ask you just go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and post them as others have done. But I think one of the mindsets says that we have to have money as our primary source for getting our needs and our wants met. And then I think there's another mindset that could be that if you recognize and understand the power that your possessions and your resources has on reducing your dependency on money, that may be life-changing for somebody. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that may be just two realities that some individuals out there living with, two different mindsets. So me personally, I like the second one. I like the second one where I have a good understanding, not saying that I have arrived, but I do have a pretty good understanding about the power of possessions and resources in connection with our finances and how all three of those work in concert with one another and help us do things for other people, do things for ourselves, but most of all, give glory to God for the things that we're actually doing. So until we come back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we just want everybody to have a wonderful, wonderful week. If you know anybody out there that you think can be beneficial for the things that we've been talking about tonight or even in previous shows, have them go to the Facebook page, have them like the Facebook page, or even go back and listen to some of the archive shows on Blog Talk Radio. So until we meet next week, God bless you and have a wonderful week.